Well, let's open our Bibles to Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're going to do the whole chapter tonight. I suppose that most people, when they think of Revelation, whether you're particularly interested in theology or have a religious background, most people, when they think of Revelation, they think of the mark of the beast and 666. So that's Revelation 13. So we're going to work our way backwards tonight. We're going to probably start out with 666 and then move back to as far as we get to go. However, to put everything in perspective, I think in this particular case, as y'all know, I don't like to read a whole lot, but I think in this particular case, we ought to read the entire chapter so that we get an overview of exactly what's going on. So if somebody would be kind enough to read, let's go with the first 10 verses.
And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him?" And there was given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemous, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with a sword he must be slain. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints.
Okay, very good. And Leroy, read 11 to the end of the chapter, please.
Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that he could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, His number is 666.
Okay. Now, this book was written and delivered to the seven Jewish churches. So if you received chapter 13, now remember there were no chapters, but if you received chapter 13 and it was read to you, just as it was read to us, and you began studying this chapter and you were one of the seven churches, where would the comparison start?
With the seven heads.
Okay, and what if you're trying to decipher what this prophecy means, where would you begin? Pardon?
Right now.
Okay.
Well, they would go back into the Old Testament to see if there was anything similar.
Okay. Is there anything similar to this in the Old Testament? Do we read anywhere in the Old Testament about beasts?
Daniel.
Daniel. Horns, crowns. So is all of this wording, at least in the first half of chapter 13, is this foreign to the Jews? Oh, they knew exactly where this was going. Now you start to decipher, especially the last part. Look out for a man that's going to have great power, or a beast that has great power, and his number is 666. Where would you start looking to find out who this man was? Would you be looking 2,000 years in advance?
I think they'd be looking towards Rome, probably, because they were having persecution that was coming to them from Rome.
Okay.
There may be more to this than, you know, we were in Ankara at the Hittite Museum in Ankara, Turkey, and they had beasts there that looked just like these right here, with the horns and with the crown and with the feet of bears and the claws. There must have been some other meaning that we don't understand associated with this back then.
Okay. All right. So are you trying to say there's more than one interpretation?
Yep.
Heresy.
Certainly more than one application.
Heresy.
That's prophecy. There always is more than one application, isn't there?
Another heresy. To the Jews that were reading this, and they wanted to, and they knew Daniel, so they knew how the beast worked from Daniel, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and so forth. And you were trying to figure out who this bad person was with the number 666, and you had persecution all around you, which we went through when we read the seven churches. Who do you think you would begin to identify as fitting 666?
Present emperor in power.
Okay. What do you all think?
Historically, I think they probably would have seen Babylon would figure in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. They identified all that. They understood that. Who's the 666? Where do you think the seven churches would begin to look? Leroy said it says twice in the current. You're talking about the current time.
Or current time.
Yeah.
John is telling the people something that's happening in his day.
Okay. By the way, the Greek is present tense. Not futuristic.
That's right.
So what logical conclusion do you think they came up with?
They were in big trouble.
Yes, and who do they think was the big trouble causer, if you know Roman history?
It's the Caesars.
Yeah, well, especially Nero. So when they read this, they said, well, we can figure this all out. Now, what's interesting is some of the early manuscripts has the number 616. Some of the other manuscripts have it as 666. Now, we're all familiar with taking the Roman numerals, and each one stands for a number, stands for a letter, and we can work it all out, correct? Now, what's interesting, if you do Nero, you come up with 616, but to the Romans, they often added an N to the emperor's last name. So if you took N-E-R-O-N, guess what you come up with? 666. So if the prophecy was for them, this made all the sense in the world because they're getting persecuted. They're getting thrown in jail. They can't buy and sell. The number of a man, if you use a little bit of wisdom, is 666. So to them, they had it all figured out. But time marches on. Now remember, did the Jews in the time that this book was written, about AD 90, did they think they were in the last days?
Yes, they wanted to see Christ return.
They thought Christ was going to return in their day.
Because he said that in Matthew.
So when you take this prophecy, in the time it was written, you're going to come up with a logical conclusion of, we got it all figured out. Was they necessarily wrong?
They see fire come down from heaven.
They were waiting. Now let's move on. Go ahead.
When Rome was burned, they were living witnesses to that event.
Well, they could have. Yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that.
And I wonder if they rained fire arrows, the fire.
Don't know. It's certainly a way of battle.
If that's what we read here, when it says fire, all fire down from heaven. Okay. Because it destroyed the city.
Could. Let's move on down history's line. What do you think happened in World War II? Guess whose name fits 666?
Adolf Hitler.
Hitler.
And to the Jews it was.
See? I've seen 666 done with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Ellen Gould White, Ronald Wilson Reagan. So is that what we should be looking for when we read chapter 13? Okay. Then what should we be looking for? Well, let's go back up and start with the chapter. There's a beast that comes out of the sea, 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 crowns. By the way, there were 7 emperors of Rome, but one of the emperors kicked the bucket, and in between the time there was another emperor put, there were 3 people that did part-time ruling, till they installed another one. So see, if you took this line of thought, that fits right into Rome. So you can take these things and make them fit through hindsight, however you want to make them fit. What is this beast representing?
If I don't know if I'm maybe getting ahead of you or something, but if we take the history at period of time John was writing and using Nero as an example of the 666, there has never been a man or a human being as horribly evil as Nero that's lived ever since then. We know of no man who has ever taken people and wrapped them in animal skins and threw them out into a pack of wild dogs in order to see the dogs chew them up. We never have had a person that would take a human being, impale him on a staff, dip him in pitch, and light him just so he can have their torches in his garden. This is the kind of thing that Nero was. So he was evil, evil, evil. And that's what we're going to have to look for, is someone is equally as evil as that guy was.
Okay.
Well, are we looking for that same time frame, that same period?
Well, that's kind of interesting. If you were going to be an SS trooper during World War II, they would give you a test. You would go through training for 6 months if you're going to be an officer in the SS. And when you went into training, they give you a nice little German Shepherd puppy. And after 6 months, you had your final test. Would anybody like to guess what that final test was?
The dog would kill somebody.
Pardon?
They would have the dog kill somebody.
They would have to choke the dog themselves to death. What we've learned from Rwanda, if you were a principal, you were a school teacher, a bank executive, a preacher, whatever, turned loose with no answering, they slaughtered people by the thousands. Turned loose. No man do we fear. We have only one person that is after our eternal soul. Now, who is that? It's the devil. Chapter 13, my opinion, again contrasts what the devil wants, the adversary wants, and what God's people. Now, he will use every mean that he can to work against God's people. So, let's go back and read a few texts and then see if we can put this all together by 8:30, and especially to see if Rick will ever come back. So, let's get busy. Somebody look up, I'm going to give you four texts to look up. Somebody look up, raise your hand, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Who's got it? Okay. Somebody look up, this is a hard one, Revelation 14, 1, next verse after 13. So, thank you. I knew you would go out of the way for that one. Somebody look up, please, Revelation 22, 3 and 4. And somebody look up 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. When we started Revelation in the first two verses of Revelation 1, 1 and 2, what did we find that this book is about? Jesus. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Nowhere are we told that this is a revelation of his adversary, revelation of the mark of the beast, revelation of 666. The book is always about Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look at the adversary. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14.
Said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly. In the recess of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.
Okay, so what is Lucifer's one desire? Is to be like the Most High. And so everything that happens, he tries to come in with a counterfeit. If we took the time, which we're not, let's look at verse, we're going to go through it very quick. Verse 3 of 13:3. And I saw one of the heads as it had been slain, and the fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast, and they worshipped. Now we know this is the power of Satan, but if we looked at Christ's life, what would parallel this?
Religion.
Okay. When was Christ slain?
The people were the most religious.
Okay. When was Christ slain? Pardon? Okay. I mean, by what means? He died on the cross. All right. Was there sadness? For how long? And what happened on the third day? And what does the world say, has always said, if you looked at the cross and understood the cross and the resurrection? You're amazed and wanted to follow. This is a parallel, the same way verse 3 is with the devil, parallels with Christ. Christ was slain. He was healed by resurrection. And the world has wandered after Him. And along comes the same language. The beast is the same way. Slain. Healed. And the whole world is amazed after Him. So we're having a parallel here between Christ and Satan.
I don't see the slaying and the healing of Satan.
Pardon me?
The slaying and the healing of Satan.
Okay.
He was slain at the cross. His purpose was defeated.
But has he made a comeback?
Yes.
Yes. A tremendous comeback. Now, we're going to talk about Mark, Revelation 14:1.
All right. Then I looked, and there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. With him were 144,000 people who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads.
All right, Revelation 22:3-4. Who has it?
No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their forehead.
Okay. Now, what do you think this means? We've gone over it, but some of you might not have been here. What does it mean when the name is written in their forehead? Does that mean we're going to walk around heaven for eternity with Jesus' name written on our forehead?
No, our minds are totally filled with God.
Okay. All right. So if we're a true follower of God, in the early books it says that the true followers of God in the early chapters of Revelation were sealed. What did we mean by sealing?
Their mind is made up. They're secure and will not be, they lose their mind, their thinking capacity, they're still secure.
Okay.
No matter what happens to us bodily, we'll still be with God someday.
Okay. And in chapter 13, we're told, number one, we must have perseverance if we're God's child, and we must have wisdom. So as we get down to the last day events, no matter what happens, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, we understand, and we cannot be swayed. And thus we're told that we will have the name of Jesus or the characteristics of Jesus written on our forehead, in our mind. We understand. Now let's go to verse 12 where it talks about the mark of the beast. If the mark of Christ in our forehead is being settled into the truth that we cannot be moved, What would be the mark of the devil then?
Same thing. Except the devil's idea, and no matter how much evidence is put forth, you're not going to change.
How about force?
Pardon me?
Force. The devil uses force.
Yes.
God doesn't.
So we're going to be able, we're going to have wisdom to discern, because we in the United States have been sheltered. We haven't been like Russia or Germany or Africa with all these terrible things going on. And we're going to have to need wisdom to discern who is who and what is what.
Okay.
But should we... I don't remember even where I heard it, but it says that we should, rather than study the counterfeit, we should study the real thing. Because, for example, the people, the security service that takes care of our counterfeit money, don't study counterfeits. All they study is the real thing, mm-hmm. So they recognize the real thing. And maybe Adventists should be the same way, rather than we spend... I know Adventists spend all the time on counterfeit stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always want to study the genuine. If you're an art collector, you want to study the genuine and you'll be able to spot the fake.
Right. Right.
If same thing, we should study the good, the goodness of God, the character of God, what Christ was like.
Right.
Now, let's take a look at when Jesus came to this earth. What was the religious people so settled, especially the Pharisees, so settled in what they thought they were correct, they could not be moved? What was that they were settled into?
A wrong concept of Christ, of God.
Okay. And how did they think they were going to obtain salvation?
Salvation by being a Jew.
Number one.
Yeah, they thought they inherited it.
Got it by inheritance.
And they got it by force, too. If you didn't believe like they believed, you got beat or killed.
And rules.
Yeah. Okay, rules.
Legalism.
Did they understand the scriptures?
Sure did.
Absolutely.
They memorized them all.
So they understood the scriptures. They knew the commandments. They understood tithe paying. They understood he was coming.
Health reform.
Understood health reform. Seemed like they had things pretty well down. So when they saw the Redeemer, Christ, and he revealed himself in 3.5 years of ministry, what good did it do them?
They recognized.
Oh, I think they recognized. But they
say he was blasphemous, I don't know.
But I think they were the same attitude as Satan, even though they recognized him. They didn't want to yield their position. Their power and their authority.
Is that strange? Okay. Let's go back in time. In heaven, did Lucifer, who wanted to be like the Most High, when it came down to his decision, what was his decision? He had two options. What were they?
Accept his position or take a bunch with him, I guess.
Repent and be in the good side of God or do it his own way. What was Eve's decision in the Garden of Eden?
She was deceived.
What was Adam's decision?
Okay, well,
Adam was not deceived.
Adam wasn't deceived. He chose to do wrong. But Eve wasn't even at that deal where God told him. She should have said, look it, I wasn't even at this meeting.
No. But Adam...
She chose to do wrong too because she was supposed to stay with her husband.
Adam had a clear decision. Clear decision. God or what he wanted. What was Cain's decision in life? God or do what he wanted to do? What was the children of Israel's decision once they left Egypt?
Do what they wanted to do.
God or do what they wanted to do? What was the Pharisees' decision?
Do what they wanted to do.
Or God. What do you think the decision in the last days are going to be? Revelation 13. It's been the decision that's always been from the time of heaven through the Garden of Eden, the children of Israel, Babylonian captivity, coming back from the Babylonian captivity, the Pharisees. There is only one choice that we ever make. Do we follow God or do we follow Satan? Right now in the religious society we live in, there are people who love God. There are people that hate God. And where are most of the people? Straddling the fence.
They don't care one way or the other.
Yeah. I love God. I'm a good guy. I just don't think I have to go to church. Don't think I really have to pray to Him every day. I don't read the Bible. But I'm a good guy. That's probably what most of the things that people have. So if God's mark is that intelligently you've made a decision and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you say to the Father, no matter how much happens to me, I trust you. Then what is Satan's mark?
Follow me around.
And what would be the mark of the people that follow Satan? And what is that? I give my allegiance to the way I want to do things.
Isn't that when we said Satan said, I want to be like God? But wasn't he really saying, I want to be God?
I think he had, we're getting into semantics. I think he had a tremendous admiration for God. He just wanted to be like Him.
Doesn't it say someplace he wanted to be exalted above the Most High? The Most High.
Yeah. When do I think?
See, he was...
I mean, it's our hope that we will have a character, a godlike character.
Mm-hmm.
So that's being like God. But
you gotta go? Quick. Okay, well, we'll be through at 8:30. Yeah. The choice, if the mark of following God is that you are so settled into you following Him, that no matter if persecution comes along, whatever. First book in the Bible written by most people agrees, the book of Job. What was the issue in Job?
Job followed God.
Job followed God. That's what Satan said. Well, he's following you for the wrong reason. And God said to Satan, hey man, you're having all this out here. Have you considered my servant Job? He has my mark. Yeah, but let me wipe him out. Let me get to him. And he'll curse you. That has never changed. The issue is never about, has never been in the history from heaven to this day, on how much tithe we should pay, what we should eat, what day to go to church. what we should do here and what we should do there. Somebody read 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 13, whoever looked it up. Let's see what the issue is about. Okay, stop right there. They perish because they what?
Refuse
to love the truth. The truth about what?
God.
It's always been about God. Yes?
I like the way this one says, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved.
Yes. See? It's the knowledge, the experience, the relationship with God and trusting Him that allows us to be sealed. Revelation 14:1, 22, to have His mark is that understanding. Then to me it stands that the mark of the, having the mark of the beast, the mark of Satan, the mark of the devil, whatever word you want, is exactly the same thing. We're so settled into going down that road that no matter what God can do, we don't change our mind. Now, let me give you my theory on 666. And could be or couldn't be, but it makes as much sense as anything else I've heard. What's God's perfect number? Seven. Seven. What's one less than six? Pardon? One less than seven?
Six.
Six. To the Babylonians, to most of the world, their number base numbers were 6 and 60. When was man created?
6 days.
Okay. My humble opinion is if the mark of God's people is that they follow Him, they trust Him, they are sealed with Him, and the mark of the devil is no matter what God does, he is rejected, then to me, 666 simply means the worst thing that can happen to anybody is I want to do it my own way. I think it's just a number that you can play with all day long. I think it's principles. What's important in the book of Revelation is to look for the principles, not the scenarios that we can fit. We can fit this to Napoleon, chapter 13. If you don't believe it, ask the people he wiped out. If you don't really believe it, ask Stalin what he did to the people he wiped out. So we've had cruelty forever. But there's two systems that we choose in life. One is we look to the cross of Calvary and we see someone who died that we can understand what eternal death is and what sin cost. We accept that. The other only choice that we have is to try to do it through our own power. And that's what the Pharisees did. That's what the children of Israel does. And ultimately, that's what the devil does. You don't need God. You can do it this way. And I think as time grows closer to the end, we're going to see some magnificent things happen that's going to blow us away. Jesus warned us. He says, you better know what you're going in. Even the very elect can be deceived. And we're sitting here trying to say, well, we'll never be deceived if Satan impersonates Christ, because Jesus' feet won't touch the earth. And his, you know, that's our one great defining understanding. Well, if that's the case, we're in lots and lots of trouble. To say that 666 fits one religion. There was a time when it looked like we certainly could have picked out a religion and tried to stick it to that name. But then it comes along a more powerful religion right now that makes the other religion look like little kids. So see, as time keeps progressing, maybe the whole understanding shifts. But if you look for the principles, they never shift. And the principle has always been, as God said from the very beginning, I want to be your God and you be my people. It's that simple. And as we get to know Him, things start becoming and make good sense. The only other alternative is, I don't want to be your people. I don't want you for my God. And that's the great deception that I believe Satan will sell this world. Is that I told you, I have only the best for you. Follow me. And the whole world will wander after him. Why? Because the only safeguard is that relationship with Jesus Christ. And as long as we're trying to identify the counterfeit and studying it and trying to figure out who he is and at what dates, Christ is over here and we won't even recognize him. And we can say, remember when he separates the goats and the sheep, what do the people that are goats say? Well, we did all these things. Man, we healed, we took care, we kept, we paid, we didn't eat. They had their list. And Jesus says, King James says, depart, but that's harsh. What he really says is, I'm sorry, we, in the Greek, we were never friends. We never knew you. We were never close. We had no relationship. So see, it's not what we do. It's who we know and who we follow. Does the right day fit into the picture? By all means. Does the right things fit into the picture? By all means. But just ask the Pharisees, is that the end to end all? So God's church is made up of lots and lots of people. And Satan's following is made up of lots and lots of people. There are some Adventists over in this camp, and there's Adventists over in this camp. And there's some nice, very nice Catholic friends that's over in this camp, and there's some nice Catholic people that are over in this camp. How dare we try to figure out which church is above the other? As always, I'm very democratic. Any questions? However, we're out of time. Father in heaven, help us to understand that you do all you can to come to us, show us how much you care. And if we'll just listen to you, our natural desires will be to follow you. You have said long ago, and you say today, I want to be your God, and you be my people. Help us to understand that's the good news that we need to take to our community. Get to know God Jesus' name, amen.